glad to be back. Everybody, thanks for all the prayers. Because I've been in the hospital quite a few times. I thank Pastor Whitaker because he came out one night late. I was in the hospital one Sunday or Saturday night. Real late for about 12 hours being pumped full of that clear stuff because I was dehydrated and I had to be the ambulance had to come to my house and my next door neighbors had to call the 911 for me. I couldn't drive myself. And I also want to say that the first couple words of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I really believe that because he sure has been watching over me a lot. I've been doing a lot of praying. I've really been thinking about you all a lot because all I've been doing is laying in bed, and I wouldn't be able to come back here if I hadn't had those prayers and I hadn't been doing a lot of praying. So I really appreciate it. And I want to say another thing, too. Coming up here real soon, Pastor Weininger is going in for an operation, and we ought to thank about praying a lot for him, too, because he's going to have a small little operation. So we need to do some praying for him. And we just don't know how lucky we are until we're real sick by ourselves, down on their back, not being able to do too much, and not even being able to go to the bathroom. So it gets pretty bad, and we don't really know how blessed we are until we get here. So God bless you all, and thank you.
Doesn't it feel good in here this morning? Feels good. Feel the love of God and to feel the love of our brother and sister. And I appreciate coming in and having a wonderful church like this to join with some of God's people. I'm thankful for Brother Henry. I'm glad he's made the effort to come out and be with us. We prayed for him a lot. And I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful that when I was 16 years old, I wasn't looking for God. Brother John, in fact, last thing in my life I wanted was God. I didn't even think about him. I was busy going about my own life, having fun. God wasn't even on my mind, but I'm glad that they put that scripture in there in John, the third chapter. It said, God so loved. Aren't you glad that God loved the world? I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that even when I wasn't looking for him, I'm glad he called my name. I'm glad he looked down and he saw a young man that was already on the road to trouble. And I wasn't looking for him. I didn't love him. I hate to admit it. He wasn't even in my mind. But I'm glad that his love reached down all the way and touched my life and kept touching me. He called my name in church, and I answered. I've been trying to answer ever since then, and I've never been sorry for that decision that day to let the Lord love me. And you know, that's all he wants to do. He just wants to love us. Isn't that amazing? You know, you can say a lot of things about the Lord, but really all he wants is he just wants to love us. He wants to bring us to a place that we can be a part of his family. He wants us to be get to a place. We have the same like spirit that him and his son do, the same mind, same characteristics, the same personalities, the same character traits, to have that same name, to take on a new name. It's all he wants for us. There's a song that said, he's never done me nothing but good. And I look back in my life, and I can truly say that. He's everything that the Lord has done for me, it's always been good for me. He's always had my best interest in mind. And then I remember in my foolish days when I was younger, when I was going through pressures. And if you're walking around a day and breathing, you're under some kind of pressure. The Lord, he wants us to respond to that pressure right. And I used not to know how to respond to it. I thought the Lord was doing it because he didn't love me, because he wanted to correct me. There are some pressures that just come to us just because we're a human. There's some things that happen to us that are common to all men. And I was going through some of those things. I'd made some poor decisions, and it put pressure on my life. And in my foolish days, I remember telling the Lord a couple times, I wish you'd just get out of my life. And I look back now on those times, and I'm ashamed to say it, that was even in my heart. But you know what? Even in those foolish times, the Lord never left me. He never gave up on me. I remember I used to try to look for a way to get out of going to church. Isn't that terrible? Try to find a way to get out of church. And there was God's people that loved me, and there was God that loved me, and the Holy Spirit. But I'm glad he held on to me. What's that one scripture? It says, he knows our uprisings, he knows our downsettings. I'm glad he knows everything about Roy. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that there's more than one way to get to heaven. That just means that our salvation is personal. God takes a personal interest in each one of us, and he cares about each one of us. And I'm convinced today, if there was just one person on the face of the earth, he'd still love that person just as much as he loves the rest of us today. And I'm thankful for that love. I'm glad he never gave up on us. I'm glad he's brought us to a place where we can really start to appreciate that love. And I look back now in all these years, and it just fills my heart with awe. And it just fills my heart with wonder, the way he's kept his hand on my life, and the way he's touched my children and my wife, and the way he's blessed us, the way he never gave up on us. I gave up on him, but he never gave up on me. So I'm thankful today to be here. Brother and Sister Smith, they're down in Texas with the Dominicans on the way to the Brownsville meeting. Let's pray for them. Let's keep praying for Brother Henry. Let's pray that God would continue to touch him and give him strength. I know his heart is to be here, so let's pray that God would give him that desire. What other prayer requests do we have? Let's pray for Sister Wilkins, too. Let's keep praying for her. Sister Elsie? All right, let's pray for Sister Elsie's family and Sister Gail. Sister Elsie. All right, let's pray for Terry Ratliff. Sister D'Lo. All right, pray for Spencer Golden. Let's pray that God would touch his body. Sister Crow. Yes, Sister Crow's sister. Yes, thank God. You know, I was thinking about Sister Crow this morning. You know, I'm glad that God can even reach down and find some little skinny, scrawny girl in the cotton fields picking cotton. You weren't looking for him, but he was looking for you. Aren't you glad he called your name, Sister Crow? He said, there's somebody. And you know, I'm thankful that when he looked down at me, I've often wondered, why would he call me? I didn't have anything. I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the strongest. Wasn't even the best looking. Didn't have the most money. Wasn't the smartest. Simply because he loved us. I'm glad he loves people, aren't you? Hallelujah. Brother DJ. Brother DJ's back. All right, what else? Yeah, Sister Wilkins, yes. All right. Who?
Wilson.
Oh, Sister Wilson, okay. All right, let's keep praying for her after this surgery. It's just hard to recover from it. Okay, all right. Sister Fisher, special unspoken prayer request? Yeah, the minister's meeting in Brownsville. Brother and Sister Pryor also down there, too. Let's pray for them. Who is? Caleb's up in Illinois. All right. Brother Dodson. All right. Prayer for Brother Dodson. Who? Brother Paul David's working today. All right. Could we have the ushers come forward? Does anybody know where the... We want to take this time to take these prayer requests before the Lord. We also want to receive your tithes and your offerings. Give you space for that. Why don't we stand and take all these requests before the Lord? And let's ask God to really come in and touch us.
Thank you,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. God, we appreciate so much what you've done for us already today. We want to bring all these prayer requests before you, Lord. Would you touch Brother DJ, God? Touch his back. Brother Keith Dotson, touch him, Lord. Brother or Sister Elsie's family, and Brother Randy Ratliff, and Sister Gail, touch him, Lord. And Sister Wilkins, God, touch her body, strengthen her. Brother Henry, God, touch him, Lord. For Sister Crow's sister, God, watch over Brother Caleb, Lord, in Illinois, and all the saints and pastors and ministers that are traveling to Brownsville, God, would you touch him? Watch over him. Help him, Jesus. He's on spoken prayer requests, Lord. We certainly need your help, God. We need your help, Lord. Touch Brother Spencer tonight, today, God. Touch his back. Help him, Lord, on these tests. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give us what we need in this service today, God. A touch from you. Touch our mind. Touch our hearts, God. Give us a hunger and a thirst after you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Savior. Precious Savior. Precious Savior. Wonderful Savior. Glory to God. Glory to God. Before you sit down, just turn to somebody next to you and say, I appreciate you being here. Yeah. Good. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated.
let that die down right there. You want to be inside the gate? Let's get inside the gate. The Lord is dealing with us today. The Lord is talking. I want to have my ears to hear and my eyes to see what He's saying. I appreciate how God is moving in this earth today, in this earth today, how He's dealing with me in my heart, how He's trying to make me what He wants to be. And that's a, you know, only God can do that, because that's a challenge. Because my nature is ever fighting against it. But I want to be a willing sacrifice to Him, wholly acceptable unto God, because it's my reasonable service. I tell you what, you know, it's one of those things where when I start feeling this way, whenever my heart starts beating like this, and I haven't drank any Mountain Dew or coffee today, I know that God's dealing with me. He's been dealing with me all through the week. You know, I can say this. I know that I don't have anyone coming to knock on my door and take me to jail. Today and maybe tomorrow, I know I still have a job. You know, the bills, be it, they're there when I get home on my desk, but I have the money to pay them. I don't have any of those type of trials, but my battle right now is up here. You know, there's enough of battle I think about where it says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rules of the darkness of this world. You know, well, I've got some spiritual wickedness sometimes in high places. It's the highest place in my earth right here. This mind can get in my way so many times. I can defeat myself before I ever start the battle. I can start talking about my own strength and what's going on in my life and how I can make my mountain so huge, there's no way they can be removed. But I serve a God that can remove every mountain. I serve a God that can take that out of my heart. I serve a God that can lift me up and say, no, I'll lift you over the mountain. Or better yet, I'm going to walk you through that valley. I'm right there with you. Don't worry. Don't fret. I'm with you. I will be with you till the ends of the earth. And I have to repeat those promises in my heart. I have to bring them up and constantly go over that. That's what David was talking about. That's what Paul, when he said, pray without ceasing, when he said to always, and then when David was talking about, you know, they that love thy law, how is that? Nothing shall offend them. But basically, it's those that meditate day and night. Those that meditate day and night. You know, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing whenever I get those thoughts in my mind. When those different things come against me and I start thinking, no. No, I can't do that. I got to go to where? Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's when I lean unto my own understanding, it's when I start getting into my carnal nature, that's when I get into trouble. That's when I start going off that track. That's when I start getting out of the love of God. That's when I start going off into my own flesh and lifting that up. And that's when I get into trouble. And that's when I get into places that I could say, well, God, you said that you'd never put on me more than I can bear. And then God can answer back, you're right, I didn't. You did. You put yourself there. So walk yourself out of that and come back over here where I am. And then I say, yes, Lord. Why? Because His hand's ever out there for me. Because His hand never moved. It's me pulling my hand away. It's me saying, I want to get... Yes, okay, I know I do move. It's me getting off into my own spirit. It's me saying, God, I can take care of this myself. You know, and that's something I was thinking about, and I'm trying my best to learn how to rein in my enthusiasm and make it to where it comes out in a cohesive thought. So please, in that aspect, have charity with me, okay? Because I my mind has been, and this is just, you know, I really get this, that I know, and I'm just going to be frank, I'm not going to be filled with you for a minute, okay? I don't know, I know I'm a part of the ministry, okay? But I don't claim to be, you know, one of the five. I don't know if maybe I'm just a pinky nail on an evangelist. I don't know. I don't know where God has for me, but I'm not concerned with that right now. Okay, what I'm concerned with is coming here and doing my part for today. Lifting God's people up today. Doing a little bit more than I did yesterday. Not because of doing's sake, but because of my relationship with Christ. Because of what He did do first for me. Because He loved me when I was yet a sinner. Because He loved me when my mind wasn't on Him. He looked at me and He looked past that and said, there's someone I'm going to use. I'm going to use him in spite of himself. Why? Because He loves me more than I love myself. Because he has, it's a redundant statement, but Christ has that love of God, that true Spirit of God. You know, this is where I was going back to on that. And look at that. See, the Lord is helping because he took my choo-choo train and came right back to where I was going with it. But it's about, I've had two different lines of thoughts, and they do relate in this jumbled mess of a mind I have. As far as relationships, as far as that one true relationship with my Jesus. You know, that I've been talking, and to the youth, they might get a chance to, oh, they're going to get to hear it again. But you know what? We're clean animals. We got to chew on that cud. We got to go over and over again and again until it really sinks in and becomes a part of that nature. And that's part of it that I was thinking about, my relationship with Christ. You know, so much in my own personal life, what I do is I'll conceptualize or I'll idealize and I'll put Jesus, not necessarily in a, well, I'll say in a religious box. I'll say, okay, here's my concept of Jesus. Okay, well, I'm not matching that. I must not be Christ-like. Oh, I'm failing. I'm doing the wrong thing. And I lose sight of my relationship. I lose sight of what really is important. You know, seeking a relationship with a friend, I'm going to just use that type of experience. You know, and I'll pick on Brandon because, well, he's up there and I'm over here and I can do that. But Brandon and I, we have been building a friendship, okay? And in order to build a friendship, there's some certain things that have to go on. Number one, there's that communication. If I'm not talking with Brandon, if I'm not texting, emailing, Facebooking, however I choose to communicate with him, and I say he's my friend, that's not really true. That's not really true. I may have good feelings about him. I can relate that back to the Lord. Oh, the Lord's my friend. Yeah, I think about him, you know, at least once every year, maybe twice. You know, I don't want to have that kind of, it's not a relationship. A relationship, there's two working together. I'm learning about him. I'm learning, hey, you know what? Brandon likes this. Brandon does like to work out, but guess what? Brandon doesn't like table tennis. I'm working with him on that. I'll save his soul in table tennis one day. But he, you know, there's certain things he doesn't like. So you know what? I'm not going to say to Brandon, if I want to try to build that relationship, hey, let's go play table tennis. I'll do that with Zach. I'll say, Zach, you want to go play table tennis? And Zach's like, let's go. So that's something Zach likes to do. So I know there's that dynamic. I'm learning about things that he likes. I'm learning about things that they like. They in turn are learning about me. Why is that important? Because that's what I'm doing about Christ. When I'm reading the Bible, when I'm trying to search out the Word, when I'm hearing those things, what am I doing? I'm learning about His likes and dislikes. Because, you know, I mentioned this to Brandon. I said, here's the deal. I have two children, so I have a relationship dynamic that's different than you. I said, if you start, for whatever reason, just being mean to my children, if you're not kind to them, if you do certain things, that's going to damage our relationship. I'm not going to want to build that relationship with you. I have got to actively be building that relationship. And that's what I've been thinking about this week, is my relationship with Christ. You know, I know it's not about the do's and don'ts, but it's about I will swear to my own heart that I will not offend my Lord and Savior because He's done too much for me. I'm tired because this is what I found myself doing. Okay, let's see if I can justify myself being able to do certain things, and it's okay. It's okay as long as I justify myself. As long as I can figure out a way, what am I doing? I'm trying to bypass what my Jesus loves. I'm not taking into consideration what is He like. Once again, I'm getting back into me. I'm saying what I like. And a friendship is give and take. And here's the deal. What else does He have to give me? Okay, my bad. He died for me. He's given me the gift of the Holy Ghost in my life. He's put me in a place to learn about the oracles of God. What do I need except to come here and submit myself and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I want that perfect relationship with Him. I want to mature in my relationship with Him. I want to say, Jesus, you know what? I want to please You because I need You. I need that relationship. I hunger for that relationship. If I get into the purpose of man, I realize my purpose here is to be in line with Him. My purpose here is to have that relationship, that true love of God in my life. And I want to get that in place And that relates back into charity. You know, I have got to get myself to where I will not put anything above Christ. And I know, Brother Durham, I can be honest. I know I have definitely done that. I have put idols up in my life that I have made more important than Christ. And that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. See, right now, I'm not talking to you. I'm confessing to you. I'm giving you and saying, this is my life. This is what I'm dealing with. I do not want to put those idols up in my life because those will keep me from my God. They'll keep me when I need God. What's going to happen? What happened with the children of Israel? When Achan took that wedge and he took that Babylonian garment, what happened there? He took that into his tent. He defiled the children of Israel. And when they went before the people of Ai, what happened? They got scattered and beaten. And all of them are going, whoa, what's going on, God? Why'd you leave us? I don't want to do that in my life. Whoa, Lord, why? Why am I having so much trouble? Why am I struggling? Well, what Babylonian garment did I grab onto? What wedge of gold did I think looked so pretty that I had to have? And what did I put above my God? You know, and I'm telling you, this is coming from me from, I've been reading, I've been thinking about, when I was talking about relationships, I've been thinking about God's put four different men on my mind. Abraham, David, Daniel, and John. John, the apostle. Those men, when I read about them, I know the Bible, and this, you know, when I was younger, this gave me a little trouble just as far as the wording of it. When it says God's not a respecter of persons. But I realize that respecter of persons relates to, Brother John, he doesn't care if I'm Hispanic, if I'm white or what. He doesn't care if I'm poor or rich. There's no respecter in that measure. He's not respecting. He will bless me with the Holy Ghost as he would bless a doctor. He would bless someone else. But when it comes to that relationship, look at these four and their relationship that they had with God. And I've been thinking a lot about Daniel. You know, when I read, when I catch myself sometimes and I'll be reading through the Bible, I'll be looking at the stories, and I'll read over the story. I'll read it to the point of, oh yeah, okay, so these guys got upset with Daniel, they got jealous, they wanted to be in his position, made Darius sign it, Daniel got in trouble, you know, he saved, the end. You know, that's how I'll read through it. But I've been trying to slow down and really see what is important in that. And one of the reasons Daniel stuck out to me is because Daniel had an excellent spirit before God. What was that excellent spirit? You know, whenever, and we can start with the very beginning, when in Daniel, whenever, and I won't go through that one, but when they first came in there over into captivity, and the eunuchs were trying to give them the portion of the king's meat, and you all know this, you all have read this before, but that how he, Daniel said, no, give us pulse and water to drink, and try us in this. Well, why did Daniel do that? What was so important about that? You know, the king's portion of the meat. I don't know. Do I necessarily just automatically believe that it was a hog? Because we know that the Jewish kosher laws wouldn't have allowed that. But what if some of those meats actually, I don't know, if they were okay by their law? I don't know. And there's no law that specifically states in the Old Testament, you know, they could partake of wine. They couldn't do it in excess. So there's more to it right there. There was something, could have been that particular food was offered as a worship in order to the king. And so that right there, so that would have been a violation. Why was it important to Daniel? Why was that important? Because he didn't want to hurt that relationship with his God. He didn't want anything. So he said, please, let me just test this in this. Just let me see, just show. And then we know what happened. Him and the three Hebrew boys, they looked better, more full, more enriched than those that had been partaking of the king's meat. But going into Darius and whenever it was in the lion's den, I wanted to pull back from that a little bit and go, okay, because I mentioned this today. When I'm reading, it's if the verse follows the next verse, in my mind, what happens is it becomes instantaneous, Sister Inez. It's like, okay, so, you know, you read one thing, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar built this man image. Okay, and then the next thing, he said, if all these instruments are played, then people need to bow down. Those are instantaneous in my mind. That man image, it wasn't bing, man image. You know, how long did that take to be built? It took time. It took time for that image to be built. So, you know, it could have been a couple of years. You know, you really don't know. The man image, or that image is built. I should say, not man image. That image is built. The decree goes out. And I related this to the students today. You know, they didn't have all the communication methods we do today. They didn't have email and texting and Facebook and all those things. Those had to be handwritten, those decrees. And they had to be nailed on every post in the kingdom. Babylon was a big place, or Medo-Persia was a big place. So, no, I'm sorry, now I'm confusing myself. In that particular place, Medo-Persia, because that was under Darius. So that decree had to go out. There was plenty of time for Daniel to know what was going on. There was a lot of time in there that Daniel, in his mind, says, what? Well, the decree says if I pray to anyone but, and I'm mixing those two stories up, please forgive me on that. It wasn't about the image. I'm relating to Daniel. I'm not relating to the three Hebrew boys and that. I'm relating back to Daniel. It's about it's about praying. It's about praying to Darius instead. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. It's about praying to Darius at that time. But Daniel had that time to consider that. But Daniel knew. Daniel went back, and if anything, is it Psalm 15 in relating to the who shall ascend into the holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Abide in the tabernacle. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. And here's the part. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Daniel knew those tenets. He knew those beliefs. He knew those teachings that he had been given as a child. He knew that to bow down and pray to someone other than God was a sin, was a way to break that relationship with God. But he swore to his own hurt, I will not bow down to anyone else. I will not put anything before my relationship with the Lord. Come what may, throw me to the den, I will not do it. And that's what I've been trying to relate back into my own life. How many times do I make excuses to bow down somewhere else in my life, when I'm not considering what I'm doing with my relationship with the Lord? God forbid that I continue to walk as that. Lord, help me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me, Lord. That's the kind of spirit that I want to have. An excellent spirit toward the Lord. One that's willing to say, you know what? Whether this is going to hurt me physically or mentally, whatever, if I'm not worried about that. What I want to be concerned with is my relationship with my Jesus. I want to say, Jesus, you're leading me the right way. All I have to do is follow right behind you. Just go in your footsteps. He's walked them for us. All I have to do is follow in behind him. And that was one of the things I've been thinking about, is that relationship and that love of God. You know, because I've been thinking about this as far as my own self, and I'll relate this. In sports, you know, the old saying is, when you're trying to build a team, there's no I in team. Why do you tell them that? What's that about? It's because you're trying to get them to work as a unit, okay? You want a cohesive unit. You don't want one person trying to stand out. That's not professional sports today. It's almost, oh yeah, there's an I. I don't know where your team is, but I'm right here. Well, what I want to relate to, though, is there's no me in charity. M-E. There's no me. There's no me in charity. Charity isn't about me. Charity is about how I treat you. Charity is about how I treat my brother. Charity is about how I treat my sister. It's how whenever you're hurt, I'm worried about you. I'm saying, hey, you know what? I don't need this jacket. Are you cold? Let me help you out. Let me be there for you. You know what? Oh, I haven't had any sleep tonight. Oh, well. You need help tomorrow? I am there. What time? What do you need? Let me help you out. And it's not with just those those physical things, but it's if it, you know, 12 o'clock at night, because I might try some of you guys because I'm this kind of person. 12 o'clock at night, if I'm sitting there and my mind is going a mile a minute, I sometimes need someone to talk to. And I have stretched that bond with some of my young brothers sometimes because I know they're still up, okay? So I might email them or I might text them and say, hey, I'm drowning right now. Can you, you know, throw me a life preserver? And that's them. They're putting on charity right then. They're showing me the love of God. They're putting that out there. And I was thinking, I was going to just, if you forward this to me, in, you know, we go over 1 Corinthians. Brother Smith had talked about going over it, you know, trying to go over it a little bit. And I've been thinking about it. But I just didn't want to read over 1 Corinthians. What I wanted to do, and I was trying to go throughout and see, where does it all relate? You know, in one place, Paul is talking, is it to the Corinthians, when he says, suffer yourself to be defrauded. You know, what they were doing is they were being offended, and it looked like from the scriptures, within the church. They were taking their own brother to law. They were taken before judges. He's like, can't you guys figure out how to resolve that yourself? Don't take it to law. Let's not put our laundry out there. You know, if I get offended, you know, now remember, I'm speaking about me. I don't know what's going on with you guys, okay? But I'm not going to put my, so-and-so on Facebook, they offended me. Buddy, everybody and their dog is about to know because I'm going to message it to the world. No, I want to come to you. What's the Bible say? If I have a fault with my brother Michael Smith, and I have no fault with Brother Michael Smith, brother Michael, I'm sorry I offended you. I know I said something stupid the other day. Please forgive me. I need to do my part. I need to go to him and make that right. And you know what? Even if I don't feel like I'm the one at fault, if there is something there, I want to go and say, brother, I love you. I love you. What can I do? I want to get those things back in my heart. Don't you guys expect a lot of pies because I don't cook, okay? But, and I'm not saying, oh, there's a lot of you to be that you've offended me. I'm saying, I know, see, I'm getting myself into it there, Sister Tally. What I'm saying, though, is that I want to clear off, if you will, sometimes that foundation of Christ and the apostles, and that's what Brother Souders did. You know, we didn't build a foundation on Brother Souders. Brother Souders went back to the foundation. He cleared off that and said, look, here's the foundation right here. This is where the church deviated, is they went away from that foundation of Christ being the chief cornerstone and the disciples, and that was what we were building upon. And that's that foundation of charity, the love of God, giving it to your brother, saying, you know what, I don't care. I don't need this. Let me help you out. And that's what I want because I know, let's relate over to John, because I was saying that John is one of those, and I'll be quite frankly honest, John has always cracked me up whenever I read through St. John. Because, you know, in toward the last chapter, John is talking, it was Peter and John and Jesus there, and how John relates it. He says, you know, and the other disciple, the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved, and then, well, I want to just, because that, you know, that just always gets me. I just think that's, but there's a reason behind it. I'm not just being facetious, okay? I'm saying, though, John had a certain relationship with Christ. But he says here in John, St. John 21 and 20, then Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I don't think that Peter said, I turned about and saw the disciple Jesus loved. I don't think Peter said that. John is quoting it that way or writing it down. And then he says, which also leaned on his breast at supper. I'm saying here, John had a certain relationship with Christ. He had a very strong relationship. It even relates right there in that very passage about Peter asking about John's death. And Jesus says, what's it matter to you how he dies or what goes on, or that he don't die until I come? You know, what did John was given the very book of Revelation to give forth to the people. We refer back to that today in prophecy. There's something about that relationship. But if you look in 1 John, we start to see that relationship he had with Christ, how it affected him. One of the areas here, I'll start with actually in 1 John, and everyone knows this, that song, but really I want to think about this a second. In 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. You know, we know the difference. We know there's different kinds of love. You know, there's brotherly love, there's the filio, there's agape, though. Agape, that charity. That's what I want to be practicing in my heart. That's what I want to get across to my brothers and sisters, is that true love of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, look at that right there. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Do I practice enough of that charity in my life? Do I put forth enough of that love to my brother and sister? Do I let petty things come in my heart? Do I let things that shouldn't even be important separate me from my love to you? If so, where is my relationship with God? Where is my relationship with Christ? If I have that flow between Christ and myself, the love should be flowing easily. But if I start damming it up with all those idols and those wedges of gold and those Babylonian garments, and I dam up that love, then it's not going to get out to anyone else. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I don't want to minimize that, Sister Oates. How many times, you know, Brother Durham just mentioned back to, you know, John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We can cheapen that. We can cheapen that to a point where it's just a scripture to memorize and go through. It's part of my little tenets. I'm a Christian. I know 1 John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God, thank You. Thank You for that sacrifice. Thank You for giving Christ for my sins. When I was a sinner, when I had nothing, when my birth certificate was a death certificate, when He said, "You are nothing, you are destined to die because my father Adam sold me out." But Christ came and paved that way to where I could have an opportunity to have life eternal. I don't want to minimize that today. What else is there in this world? Why should I put on the love of God? Why should I build that relationship? Because what else is there? What else is there in this world? What else? I talked to the youth today about that. You know, in my life, and once again, I'm just relating to you from my heart. I have so often said, and I've made these goals, and goals are good. Let me tell you something I learned. It was religious in this school, and that was about setting goals, wasn't it, Sister Tally? It was very important, and that was a very valuable lesson in life. If you don't have a goal, you're going to wander aimlessly and get nowhere. So you need those goals. But the thing is, what is my ultimate goal? What is most important in my life? What am I really seeking for? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Don't seek the other things first. Seek God first. Swear to your own hurt. My Lord, if it takes me, whatever, Lord, whatever. That needs to be my whatever, Lord. Where will You lead me? Gird me, Lord. Take me down that path. It hurts, Lord, but God, what is out there for me, Lord? Look what You've done already for it, Lord. If You don't give me a thing, I owe You more than my life. I owe You my heart. I owe You my soul, my very being, God. If I don't even do that, what kind of person really am I? I'm all about me, and there's no me in charity. I have got to get those idols out of my life. I want to move forward in Christ. You know, those mental battles, those mental demons, those mental spirits. And I'm not talking about spirits like we read. I'm talking about my spirit, my Adamic nature. Let me tell you, that's the hard one to fight against. That's the one when I think back to Christ walking in the wilderness and in the temptations, when He was walking there, I get it. Let me tell you, I know He was tried, because on a daily basis, if I'm not careful, and if I'm not meditating on Him, I start going down that path. I start putting those obstructions in my way. I start saying, "Oh God, woe is me. Oh God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this?" When all I need to do is just say, "I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. God, come what may, I'll bow down, Lord. I'll bow down only to You, Lord. My heart, my soul an outward manifestation, saying, God, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be lifted up, Lord. There's nothing that should separate me from the love of Christ. Only I can separate me from the love of Christ. Only I can get in the way of that relationship of my God. And I want to get me and I and all the other pronouns out of the way and just lift up my Christ and say, God forbid that I offend you, Lord. Let the world be offended, but not my God. It's time for us to take a stand. When David went down against Goliath, there were hundreds of thousands of warriors on both sides. There were plenty of people there to fight that battle. But it took one young man that said, my God has been offended. You say that against my God? You say that against the children of Israel? I'm going to take your head off in the name of the Lord. I will not stand for that. God, help me. Help me to live it. Help me to breathe it. This is my life. It's not a song. It's a pledge to my own hurt. This is my life. This is what I live for. This is my heart. And that's, you know, that's it, Brother Daniels. I don't want it to be a message that comes from me to me about what I should be doing or how I could be living and then go away fear and let it have no effect in my life. God forbid. God, I need, and what do I need? I need more of that Spirit to water it down. I need more of the Spirit of God in my life. I need to seek Him with my whole heart. If I don't have enough of the Holy Ghost in my life, whose fault is it, Sister Dolores? Mine. Mine, because I'm not, because I have pride. Because I say, oh, well, maybe if I go up there again, man, the people are going to probably say, oh, what's happening in Brother Phil's life now? Oh, look, he's just such a big baby. He just can't make it in life. Oh, you know, hey, all right, maybe that's only my knucklehead. I'm just saying, those are thoughts that come to me when I'm robbing myself of the blessings of God, when I'm robbing myself from that flowing Spirit, from that peace that passeth all understanding. I'm robbing myself from those things when I let me get in the way, when I don't come down here and throw myself at the altar and say, God, have mercy on me, a wretch. But with you, God, all things are possible. Anything is possible with Him if I'll just come before my God and say, I'm swearing to my own hurt, Lord. What can I do for you today? What can I learn about you? How can I put a smile on your face? How can I bring a tear of joy to your eye? Fathers, when you look at your son and he's done something and you know, he gets a point or he understands something or he does something you've taught him, do you not get that feeling of, you know, that's my baby. He's growing up. Look, he's learning. He's becoming a man. God is no different in that. God is no different. I want to put that smile on his face. I want him to be able to say with me one day, that's my son. That's my son. My spirit dwelleth in him. That's what I want. Think about, you know, that's what I go over in my mind, all these different things. They're examples, and the Bible says examples for us to go back to. They're not just stories. These are men and women who have been down this road before each and every one of us. Whenever they were in back in the Old Testament, I don't remember his name right now, but they had been intermingling with some of the Gentile tribes around. And there was one man, I mean, what he did, obviously we can't do today, but he went in and he slew, I think he was at the house of Levi, he slew the man and the woman that was from this other Gentile tribe. Ma'am? Phinehas? Phinehas. She said Phinehas. He killed them both, and was it at the time of Joshua or Moses? Well, you can't say something if you can't help me out totally. Come on, Sister Inez. Whoever it was at that time in leadership, and God said they lifted that man up and said because his zeal for God had that day saved Israel. That's what I, you know, zeal, just that fire. You know, I'm a scouter. I'm helping my son in that. I'm trying to teach him certain things. Just having a fire is not what you want. Because a fire, unkept, if you don't have certain precautions, if you don't have certain things in place, a fire can do a lot of damage. Okay? I don't want to just have a fire or just a blustering. You've heard of a blistering fire. Blustering is just going whichever way, you know. But fire, utilized the correct way, provides warmth. A fire can provide nourishment through cooking. A fire can keep you alive in those times of trouble. That's that fire that Christ wants in my heart. He wants it ever burning because this is ever fresh. This is a new message. I don't care if the Bible has material in it 6,000 years ago. This is a new message. Christ is saving us today. It's a message for us today. Not for yesterday. Not for days gone by. This God still reigns over the earth. He is my Christ, my Savior. And I want to put Him on the throne of my heart. So I just want to deliver my heart today. I just want to say how I appreciate God, what He's doing in my life. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what comes over the horizon. But bless the Lord, I've got God by my side. So come what may, I can be victorious through Him.
Y'all pray for me because my voice is 100%. If I had all the wealth of this world, and I had all that money could buy, and I had not the love of my Savior, oh, I would rather be dead than alive. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone.
Went to him with my
troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Oh, don't ever leave me.
Oh, yes, Lord.
For without you I could never, oh, never make heaven my home. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone.
What a wonderful service. What more could you do? I just wanted to quote a scripture. Jesus said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you have love one to another." I'm glad he said it like that. I'm glad he didn't put it, he could have said other words. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." It, yeah, whatever way you want it to do, but he said that you have love one to another. That was the first commandment. John said that in 1 John. He says, "A new commandment I write unto you." He said, but it's really not a new commandment, but it's from the beginning, that you have love one to another. That was the message of Christ. He went about loving, doing good works. I love what Brother Fisher said this morning about our relationship, and it's true. If your relationship with Christ is good, it don't matter when you live, it don't matter what time period, you're going to make it. God will find a way for you to make it. All we got to do is fall in love with Him. So aren't you glad you came here this morning? Amen. Let's stand. Let's thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, for the way that you manifested yourself here tonight. God, Lord, we want to give our love back to you, Lord. Want to come up before you, Lord, just how much we appreciate you, how much we love you, Lord, how much we consider you in our daily walk, God. Go with us today, God. Bring us back safe at 5 o'clock, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Are we having band practice? 4 o'clock, beginner band. 3 o'clock is choir practice. Oh, Sister Jody's not here, so no choir practice. All right. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.